السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama-i Kiram, most respected brothers, and also our sisters who listen over the receivers. In the Quran Sharif and in the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, and in the sayings of the awliya, the walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you will always find mention of numbers. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that famous hadith of his, which I have discussed many a times in different places, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that you guarantee me 6 things and I guarantee you that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give you jannat. Now that does not mean that only 6 things are required in a person's life. Because in those 6 things we don't have mention of namaz, we don't have mention of fasting, we don't have mention of hajj, we don't have mention of zakat. So it means that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was addressing an audience at that time who had salat, zakat, hajj, fasting in their lives, and they also had those other things which he was mentioning in the hadith. They were honest, they were truthful, they were charitable, they were everything. But it was a lesson for the people to come. So to make things easy to remember, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned 6 things. But if you have to ponder and reflect over those 6 things, then you will find the whole of deen covered in those 6 things. In a nutshell, or ocean in a teacup, you will find those 6 things covering all aspects of deen. Then of course the person has to study, he has to increase his knowledge, he has to understand, but he will find it in there. So for example, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said amongst those 6 things that he mentioned, that if you have those 6 things in your life, then I guarantee Allah ta'ala will give you jannat. So he said, usduqu iza haddathtum wa awfu iza wa'attum. When you speak, speak the truth. When you make a promise, fulfill the terms of that promise. When you are entrusted, then don't betray the trust. Wa ghuddu absarakum, and lower your gazes from haram. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that you want guarantee of jannat, then lower your gazes. Anything that is haram to see, then don't see. And then protect yourself from adultery, fornication. Don't indulge in adultery and fornication. وَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَكُمْ. That's what it means. That don't indulge in adultery or fornication. And zina is of the eyes, zina is of the ears, zina is of the tongue. And zina is the actual act. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that you want jannat, then you promise me these 6 things. And finally, وَكُفُّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ. That means withhold your hands. Don't do injustice upon anyone. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions 6 things. I discussed this in detail in some talk of mine. But he mentions 6 things here. Now if you have to ponder just over the first one, that usduqu iza haddastum. Now that covers the whole of deen. That there must be sadaqat, there must be truthfulness. If we have to discuss just that first aspect, then it will cover the Quran Sharif, or the Hadith Sharif, the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the belief in Allah, His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so many other things. So in the same way, in the Quran Sharif also, for example, when we are discussing At-Taibun, Al-Abidun, Al-Sa'ihun, Al-Raki'un, Al-Sajidun, Al-Amirun, Bil-Ma'roof, Wan-Nahun, Anil-Munkar, Wal-Hafizun, Al-Hududillah. Now it does not mean that those are the only things, or those are the only sifat, or the attributes of a true mu'min. But if we have to look deep into the meaning of those seven things that have been mentioned, we will find many, many things covered. In fact, the whole of Quran and Sunnah is covered in there. In just the last part, وَالْحَافِظُونَ لِحُدُودِ اللَّهِ, we can cover whole aqaid, ibadat, muasharat, akhlaq and everything. So today, in this little time that we have, some incident that I was reading one day in one kitab of Faqih Abu Lays Samarqandi Rahmatullah Alayhi. He was a great faqih, a great jurist. It just came to mind that he also mentioned, he said that it is necessary that a Muslim should develop in his life, he should build up, he should nurture 6 qualities. Just like Mullah Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi said that if a person has to bring 6 things into his life, then it will become easy for him to practice on the rest of deen. It doesn't mean those 6 things are the complete deen, but it will become easy for him to practice on the rest of deen. So in the same way here he says that if a person is a Muslim, he is a believer in Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then he must nurture, he must develop, he must bring into his life 6 things. 6 sifat, 6 attributes, 6 qualities. The first thing that he mentions there is the sifat of ilm. We can talk about many other things, but the first sifat, or the first thing that he says a Muslim and a believer must bring into his life is ilm. Why? Because if the person hasn't got ilm, then he will not be even able to make ibadat correctly. He will not be able to give his zakat properly. He will not be able to know whether his fast is valid or invalid. When he is in Hajj, he will not know whether this was farz or wajib or sunnat, or whether it was a mustahab. In every aspect of a person's life, there is a requirement of ilm. Without ilm, he cannot make amal. Amal can only come after the person has got ilm. And this ilm also must be both of fazail and masail. Sometimes we have a lot of knowledge of the fazail, what are the virtues. But when it comes to the masail, then we have absolutely no knowledge, or very little knowledge. Or we are unable to differentiate, we are unable to know whether it is farz or wajib or sunnat, or what is the category of that amal that we are doing. And as a result, what will happen is that sometimes we will emphasize too much on that which is not to be emphasized upon. And we will try to drum it, or we'll try to force a person to make amal on something where Sharia does not make it necessary for him to make that amal. Where Shariat allows him a concession, then we will make it compulsory. Why? Because of lack of knowledge. So knowledge is something, he says, that it is extremely important. We have to bring into our lives ilm of deen, ilm of Sharia. The businessman must know what are the ahkam of Allah Ta'ala, what are the laws of Allah Ta'ala with regards to his trade. What is halal, what is not halal. There is a very fine line. What kind of transaction is permissible and what is not permissible. The only thing we know when we open a business, that we must not sell pork and we must not stock liquor. That's all we know about halal haram. But that is not all. There are so many transactions that they can just become haram if not done properly. And if the person is careful, then it will be halal. So we must have the knowledge. Every person has to have the knowledge. If he is a father, he has to have the knowledge. If he is a husband, he has to have the knowledge. What are the rights of the wives? If she is a woman and she is a wife, then she has to have the knowledge. What are the rights of the husband? The children have to know what are the rights of the parents. The parents have to know the rights of the children. The teachers have to know the rights of the pupils. The pupils have to know the rights of the teachers. So you can see it goes across the board that for every little thing we will have to have knowledge. Knowledge is light. Without that knowledge, the person will not be able to make amal. And generally when we talk about knowledge also, we just refer to a few things here and there and we take it for granted that we've got plenty of knowledge. But knowledge in the eye of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is only knowledge if it leads a person on to amal and practice. All the rest, we will say that they are sciences, they are arts. If a person is in any other profession, then we will say that that is the knowledge of medicine, the knowledge of science, the knowledge of this, the knowledge of that. But that is not true knowledge in the eye of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That is permissible, it is acceptable for livelihood in this world. The person goes into those fields, so that is totally permissible. In fact, it is necessary that a person must seek halal livelihood. So whether he seeks it through the profession of medicine, or whether he becomes a scientist, or whether he becomes a lawyer, or whether he becomes a teacher or anything else, those things we will say that they are for the stomach. But all those colleges and universities are for nothing else but the stomach. For this 5-6 feet body of a person, all that knowledge he acquires, sometimes for 6 years, sometimes for 10 years, and sometimes all his life. He is just increasing that knowledge. And then he takes it for granted that I am a very educated person. So that is just for the stomach. It is permissible. Seek it for your livelihood. But don't consider that to be the ilm which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam refer to. That ilm is only the ilm of deen upon which the person practices. And in that profession also, when he will bring this ilm of deen, then that profession will be halal. In that profession also which he has adopted for the sake of livelihood, now when he will bring this ilm of deen into that profession, then he will get sawab and reward. And then even that he can make it into ibadat. For example, a person has become a doctor, or the person has become a businessman, the person has become a farmer. Now there's nothing wrong with that, that is for his stomach. Now when he will bring this ilm of deen into that business, and he will say that my Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam have ordered that I must transact in a certain manner. So now what he is doing is bringing that ilm of deen into that business, and that is what is now making it ibadat. It was not that business itself, it was now that ilm of deen which came into that business which made that business into ibadat. And that business now can become the means of closeness of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and entry into Jannat. So first thing is the ilm of deen. The person has to know the masail of Sharia. I think I mentioned that once a person came, a simple bola bala person from one of the other cities in the Eastern Cape, and he came and says, Maulana, I completed my iddat and I now want to get married. So I said, but you completed your iddat or your wife completed her iddat? She says, no, I completed my iddat. So I said, what do you mean by you completed your iddat? This is the truth I'm telling you, I'm not giving you a joke in the masjid here. He says, no, I completed my iddat. He said, I divorced my wife, so they told me that now you must sit 40 days in the masjid. So after he divorced his wife, they made him sit 40 days in the masjid, his iddat. So you can see how lack of knowledge this poor person was made to sit in the masjid for 40 days. And then they told him, now your iddat is over, you can go and get married now. People who are making salat, they don't know whether that salat is valid or not valid. Wajibat, the person doesn't know what is wajib. Doesn't know what is farz, doesn't know what is sunnat, when must he make sajda sahwa. So even the most fundamental, or the fundamental ibadat, which is salat, there too we have to look at our knowledge, we see how deficient it is. Nevertheless, so the first thing he says is knowledge. If we have to talk, we can go on about knowledge till Qiyamah day, we cannot finish. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what was the first verse of the Quran Sharif that came upon him? Iqra'. But not only Iqra'. After that was Bismi Rabbika Allazi Khalaq. In any case, if I'm going to go in that direction, we won't cover anything else. So the first thing he said that the Muslim, a mu'min, has to develop in his life is this, or bring into his life, is the sifat of ilm. When the person doesn't have ilm, then he's in total darkness. He has to have ilm. So Muslims must make an effort to bring ilm into their lives. Now we make extensive effort to bring ilm into children at these days. Otherwise that was also very much deficient and neglected. But if you have to look at it, everybody is concerned. Our children, we must provide madrasas for them, and we must provide maktabs for them, and we must provide this for them and that for them, and give them education. Indeed, for those little children, you have to give them the foundation. But Allah Ta'ala is not going to question the 5-year-old and the 6-year-old child, why you didn't make salat. We have to have classes for the adults. We require that education, because Allah Ta'ala is going to question us that did you perform your salat properly? Did you know the masail of Sharia? How much do you know about farz, wajib, sunnat of salat? So you took out time to read so many other books and so many other kitabs and so many other newspapers and magazines. Did you take out some time to learn the basic masail of deen and sharia? So that is required for the adults more than it is required for the children. But if we have to have adult classes to teach them the masail of sharia, then we will find that all the adults are gone. Those who are very much concerned about children's education and those who are trustees of madrasas, they too will not be there, even though they don't know what are the faraiz of namaz. So the first thing he says is ilm. The second thing he says, that the person must develop within himself the ability to recognize who his enemy is and who his friend is. Now, we may not understand what he is saying. Faqih Abu Lays, Rahmatullah Ali, was a great muhaddis, he was a great jurist, and a very, very wise and an intelligent person. Now, he is saying that the Muslim and the mu'min must be able to recognize, he must have that kind of ability, he must have that kind of insight, he must kind that kind of basirat he must have, that he can recognize that this is my friend and this is my enemy. We have to discuss this, inshallah, some other time we'll go in detail. But today just listen to what he says. The six things he says Muslim must bring into his life. Because if we are not going to recognize our friend and our enemy, we will not be able to differentiate, then we will face the disasters that we are facing. Because he's not talking about one individual Muslim, he's talking about the Muslims at large, the whole Muslim Ummah. So right from the government level to the individual level, if we have to look at the Muslim countries, for example, have they recognized who their enemy is and who their friend is? Look at Iraq, look at Iran, look at Saudi Arabia, and look at all these countries of the world who have had disasters upon disasters, and they have been betrayed, and they have been let down, and they have faced so much of destruction in their wealth and property and lives. Why? Because they failed to recognize who their friend is and who the enemy is. They went to the camp of the enemy and they thought that this was our friend. They went and told Clinton and his party in those days everything that they thought, because they thought Clinton was their friend. But afterwards, when Clinton resigned or when he was voted out, then we came to know that he was the one who was 101% with the Zionists and with the Jewish and with the Israelis and with Sharon and party. So what they did is gave all their secrets, thinking that this America was our friend, Britain was our friend, Russia is our friend. So that is on the international level. But even in the individual level, he says the Muslim, the second sifat he must have is be able to recognize who his friend is and who his enemy is. Who is a hypocrite and who is a loyal friend, he must be able to recognize. If he doesn't have that, then he will face disasters. Then he will say, I was betrayed. Then he will say that, I thought that this person was my sincere friend, but it turned out to be that he was my enemy who stabbed me in my back. That is what we will listen. So look at the wisdom behind his second point. He says, you must be able to recognize your enemy and differentiate between enemy and friend. And then he says, of course, that the declared enemy, the open enemy, the one who is our avowed enemy, he has openly declared, I will be the enemy of man, and especially the believer is shaitan and our nafs. The third thing that he says, that a Muslim, a believer in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, an adult believer, or even if he is young but he's got senses, then he must choose a Muslim who is able to tell him that this is haq and this is batil, this is truth, this is falsehood. What you are doing is right or what you are doing is wrong. In other words, that friend must make amar bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. And this person must not be offended when that friend is making amar bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. If that friend is a true friend and you have chosen him on that basis that he must make amar bil ma'roof nahi anil munkar, he must tell you what is right and wrong, then what is the reason that we become offended? Why should we become offended if that is the reason why we had chosen him as a friend in the first place? But of course, you will see that that friend also now has to have ilm. We go back to the first sifat. Because that friend also, if he doesn't have the ilm, what amar bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar will he make? The only thing if that friend knows is namaz is farz 5 times a day, then if you are not making salat, he will say, well, make your salat. That's about all he will say. But when it comes to our transactions, when it comes to our muasharat, when it comes to our dealings, when the person has got a marital problem, when he's got a social problem, he's got a domestic problem, he's got some other financial problems, and other kinds of problems, political problem, economic problem. Then this friend, what amar bil maruf and nahi anil munkar will he make if he himself doesn't have the knowledge of the ABC of Sharia? So again that first point. Nevertheless, he says this Muslim must choose a friend who can make amar bil maruf, nahi anil munkar. Fourthly, he says that this person who is a Muslim, who is a believer in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he must develop in himself the sifat and the quality of meditation, of reflection, of pondering over the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And he must be able to take lessons from everything that's happening around him. He must take lessons from everything that's happening around him. If he doesn't develop that sifat in him, then he will again face disasters. For example, we know, we have seen, we have heard, we have read so much about the disasters that struck Indonesia, Sri Lanka, India, and right up to Africa, and all the destruction that took place. And who does not know what is happening in Palestine, what is happening in Iraq, and what is happening in other parts of the world? How much of lessons have we taken from that? How much of lessons have we taken? So he says the Muslim, he must take lessons. He must be able to develop in himself that sifat of reflection, of pondering, and of taking lessons from what's happening around him. In his home, amongst his children, his wife, his family, in the society, in the business houses, and in dealings with people, everywhere in the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he must be all the time, his mind must be working and take lessons. Then he says, fifthly, this Muslim, he must not make zulm on any person in the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If he's going to do that, then that person will be his enemy on the day of Qiyamah. And he says this is one thing that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not tolerate, and that is zulm. With kufr the country can still run, but zulm is something that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will create the conditions that those who were persecuted, those who were tortured, upon whom injustice was done, they will be given dominance. And the people who were the aggressors, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make them zaleel and make them humiliated. We can see how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala brings out from the prison and makes the person a president. But then if they do the same thing, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will turn it around and it will carry on like that. So he says, don't do injustice upon anybody. And this is a point that I've been emphasizing tremendously in my bayans. That at present, whenever we talk about injustice, straight away we look at Palestine and Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, and Africa and Afghanistan and Iraq. But we fail to look in that little government within our home, that they, we are the prime ministers, we are the presidents of that country and that government. How much of injustice is being done? I write and reply to letters every day. I take telephone calls. And some of the injustices that are done, we cannot even listen to it. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must have mercy upon us. I don't say that every time that the wives are right or the women are right. They can be having a lot of faults, and it is their nature that they will say things which will sometime hurt. But then after that, for that husband to beat the woman up, to take that cigarette and burn her, and to take her head and smash it against the wall, and then tell her that, must say, accidentally you fell down. So all these type of injustices which we are doing, where we are not looking at what their rights are, we are demanding certain things which are not supposed to be demanded from them. It was not the right, our right. So then that's injustice. Whether we like it or not, the suffering will come in this world and in the akhirat. So he says, don't do that. And finally he says that Muslim, he has to prepare for the life to come. Before death comes, he has to make that preparation. Not after death. The preparation has to be done whilst the person is alive. As I mentioned in last night's talk also, that recently so many people have lost their lives in accidents, in shootings, in killings, in earthquakes, in tornadoes, and in cyclones, and in all. And more babies have died than adults. Thousands of babies have left this world. Hundreds of thousands of young people have left this world. So where are we going to have that guarantee that we will live for another 50 years or 100 years. I will conclude that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants us to make that preparation now. So let us be alert and again go to that point, that take lessons, that most of those people have died suddenly. There was no warning signs. It's not that old age came and they started getting pains and aches and went to hospital and they were preparing mentally for death. Suddenly, healthy, fit, young people, and suddenly they're gone from this world to rise no more, to come back no more onto the surface of the earth. So we must take a lesson. Don't be in the wrong places. Don't be in haram establishments. Don't be in zina, in adultery, fornication. The person can just go and then he will rise on the day of Qiyamah just like that, and the whole billions of ummatis will watch that this is what the person was doing when he died. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to develop in ourselves these six qualities, which will then make it easy for us to practice on the rest of deen. InshaAllah, if Allah ta'ala gives life, health and an opportunity, the same thing we will discuss in a little more detail. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.